Thank you, Jesus. I so love God's family. You're my brothers and sisters, and I know that. When I'm in Africa, I told them one time, I said, you're my brothers, from a different mother, but you're my brothers. And I really believe that. We have something in common together when we know the Father who's given birth to us and introduced us to a victory in life. Amen? So, Father, I just ask you to bless this congregation. Father, I see the seats are full. Father, I ask that the hearts would be full as well. The full of the truth and a revelation that we're not a mistake. We're not the plan B. We're plan A. And Father, I ask you to just give grace this morning for a spirit of revelation and wisdom in the kingdom of God, that knowledge that we learn walking with you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. How many are walking with the Lord this morning? Wow, about half of you. That's good. If you're walking with the Lord this morning, please stand. Wow. God is good. And if you say that, he's better than that. Amen. So turn to the neighbor next to you and say, you're looking good this morning. Amen. Amen. Please have a seat. I don't know why anybody didn't say that to me this morning, but all right, it's good. This church has been on a journey. I'm not talking about the building and the land. I'm talking about the church. I've known Kingston for a long time. We moved to Sarasota, we moved to Walk Hill, and we were lost. The valley was dark. There is a religious spirit in this valley that was controlling everything that's going on. And so when we came, our goal was to just be who we were, to love as God loved us. That's our message, really. That's the message that we have. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son because he loved the world. Our mentor was Leonard Evans. Some of the folks in this room had a chance to hear him when we invited him to come to Walk Hill to share his heart. Leonard is an amazing man because he had an insight to the love of God, but I think it rescued me from darkness because I didn't understand that I could love someone the same way that he loved me. And so when I discovered that, I was just caught up in the thought that I can walk as a child of God and I can love the way he loved me. How many love God? Wow, almost all of you. You know, you'll find out when you're in a service with me that I want you to just like be in the living room. You know, we're talking, that's what we're doing. So if I say how many love God, then you can raise your hand. You can do whatever you want. But express that before the Father right now. If you love God, raise your hand. If you love him twice, if you love him with all your heart and all your soul. You see, that's what Leonard was teaching us as a mentor. When we came to Walk Hill, we came to love people because that was the easiest thing for us to do. I didn't have to prove myself. I just had to love people that I met. Amazing how many people want to be loved. Really. They just want to be accepted, encouraged. And we were in Leonard Evans Church in Pleasant Valley, Ohio, not here. And he taught us that if we want to see life change, we need to love the way that God loves us. He said that we need to love our Father with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. And that's what you confessed to a moment ago, before your Father. And he said the first commandment, the second is like the first. So that there's a combination here when Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? I do want to love God. And I can tell you now, you can't send God a love letter through U.S. mail. You can't do that. You can't send him a card and say, "Here's my Valentine, be my Valentine, God." Whatever, you can't do that. It's natural. He said, the first is just like the second. Love your neighbor as yourself. When I love Josh, I'm not loving just Josh. I'm loving the Father. Because my love for the Father allows me to love Josh. And so when we get that truth in our spirit, it's so much fun to love God. I loved God last night when we were checking into the hotel. There's this young lady there, and I invited her to church today, but I'm not sure that I see her because she had on a Giants football jersey. I don't see one of those, so she's not here this morning. But I had a chance to love her with the love of the Lord. I'm loving God when I do that. So when we came to Walk Hill, that's how we built that church. We just loved. Now we're talking about a building. We're talking about people. We just loved the way God loved us. Why is that important? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would have eternal life. That's awesome. I believe in God. Do you believe in God? All right. This is called God's eternal gem. Yes, I believe in God. I want you to know that being a part of the family of God is fun. It really is. Our problem is we invite people in and they discover the love of God and they're just so excited. They come into the church and we said, you're free now. You're set free. And we want you to learn about God, and we're going to have you attend the Bible school now, and we want you to read this book and that book. And here's this man says this about prophecy, and this guy says this. And we load them up. And they say, wait a minute. I didn't sign up for this. I just want to be here, set free. And you want to know something? We need to learn how not to be religious. Nobody should be ticking off the attendance list to make sure you're here every week or all the meetings or whatever. It's not religious, it's relationship. When you come with a relationship, you are the church. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. How many believe that you are adopted into the kingdom? About half. How many really believe you're adopted into the kingdom? You see, that's important because if you really believe that, that's personal revelation. And I want to talk about being a son of the living God because God sent his sons to accomplish something. And I want to make it clear that if we don't get this, we'll spend our time visiting buildings, hoping we'll have a discovery when Jesus is here all the time. There's your discovery. You don't visit buildings to find Jesus. You visit this quiet place in your heart. I call it my secret place. I know what my secret place is. And it isn't on a mountain in Tennessee with my head shaved and, you know, burning incense. That's not it. Please, if you want to go there or if you've been there, it's okay. Do that. But make sure that it's the Spirit leading you and not your flesh. All right. No, this secret place is that place, that moment in the woods in Somerset County in Pennsylvania when I said, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. And from that day forward, I had a revelation that I will die for over and over again. Now, how can you die over and over again? It's dying to my flesh. I've had to do that, and it's not easy. How many find it easy to die to your flesh? Oh. Good job, Josh. we're on a journey right now. This is a very important time in the church. And there's a cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on right now. Leonard Evans, I know where he is, and his wife, Betty, they're there. By the way, Leonard said his wife really needed to grow up mature spiritually. He was troubled with that because she is just not the wife that he wanted. So he complained to God. He said, here I am, this marvelous spiritual man, and you give me Betty, who is just a butterfly. She doesn't have any. And God stopped him. He said, well, he said, you love her, and I'll change her. She didn't change. He did. His flesh got busted. You know, it was arrested in its place. And so I love Lois. Not to change her. I want to find out about me. One of my special prayers as an authentic disciple is, Lord, reveal myself to me so that I might know you better. That's how it works. We begin to pray for people's flesh to be changed, and we find out it's ours that needs to work, not theirs, you know. They're going to be who they are. Are you going to be who you are? It's important to recognize that we've been sent as sons. Let's turn to John chapter 1. I think it only takes us about 8 hours to get to Revelation, but we'll get it there. I want to encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, either if it's electronic, that's fine. If it's printed, that's fine. You need to get that. You come here, and you hear good preaching. I know you do because I've heard good preaching from here. You get the preaching. You get to hear the word that way, but there's something very special about acknowledging the personal revelation you have when you're studying the scripture. God promises that, by the way. And so when we learn that process, when you come here, it's going to happen quicker for you because it's going to add on to the revelation that you have. And I really think that it's important for us to realize it is the word of God who separates us from this earth, from the world here, so that we can be truly born again, walking as children of God with spiritual authority. That's what happens through the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. That's cool. Nothing that was made without him was made at all. Everything you name it, he knows about it. I think that's really great. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And I would say did not capture it, did not hold it hostage. That's basically what it's saying. When you come into a room, not because you're bright eyes, but because you have that light of the Son of God within you, a pure light, darkness acknowledges it. Sometimes we don't even want to be acknowledged, but it acknowledges it because darkness knows what that looks like. John has this confession. He said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came as a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Now, it's interesting to me that we're going to jump down to verse 12 here because I want this to be very clear. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Let me ask the question. Do you believe in your heart that you have a right to become a child of the living God? Well, how are you doing with that? How are you doing with that? You know, I say to people sometimes, I say, you know, if I were the only man on earth who was born again, a child of the living God, and that was his church, I'm the only one, what would his church really look like? That's something to think about. I better look like a child of the living God. It goes on to say, to those who believe in his name and who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. I want to say this to us all, because, you know, I don't like it when when I hear a preacher or somebody, a teacher say, now, when this is over, I'm going to teach you something that's going to change your life. I know that if you listen, it's going to change your life. I like to say, let's read this together. Let's find out what God's saying to us. I know all of you are Bible school students and all of that. You know all of the things about Jesus you need to know, but you don't know something that's about to happen in your life right now. You're here for spiritual revelation, personal revelation of truth. And if you think you've heard it all, you're in the wrong place. Because we come as children. I can tell you now that I'm not a scholar, but I am a child of the living God, and I trust his word in me. So today, we need to understand that Jesus, the Word, came as flesh. He was born a human being, fathered by God himself, who is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's not going to leave us in this process. He's with us for always, forever, until we reach that place where we are complete. And that is complete. Standing before him, we see Jesus face to face, and it says, all things will be made known to you. My goodness. Oh, I want to be there, but I don't want to go too soon. Why? Because he has something for me to say. Amen. And so as I say it, I pray that I say it from the experience of the love of the Father in my own life. It's interesting to me that people don't understand that Jesus was flesh. By the way, I just taught this same subject, not the same thing, because it changes every time I say it. Lois will tell you that. I am the pastor with the eternal sermon. I just keep adding to it, you know. But the reality is, in a place called Huatulco, in the state of Oaxaca on the Pacific coast, there's a church there. And as I'm talking to these people, there's probably half of them are basically Mayan or Aztec. They look very Indian in that features and so on. They, when I said Jesus was flesh and Jesus could experience the pain of a mommy spanking his butt. I mean, the air went right out of the room. I said, Jesus had splinters, I think, from helping his father in the carpenter shop. He maybe had blisters. I know he was hungry. I know that he was tired. Why? Because he was flesh. If you don't understand that, then you'll never understand what happened to you when you were born again. Your flesh didn't get born again, by the way. Thank God. But my spirit was impregnated by his spirit. A seed from above that gives birth not to my flesh, but to a son of the living God. Amen. The sermon this morning, if it had a name, probably doesn't, but if I had a name, it would be understanding the authority and spiritual authority and the authorization to be here to express that to others. What we do with that is we really morph it into something that Jesus never meant. And so what I want to say to you is today that I am a child of the living God. I like it in Africa. They say, my names are, and they read off like six names. I am born again. I believe in Jesus. I am married to one wife. They get it all out there, right, in the beginning. And I think our confession needs to be that we are born again. Amen. We don't belong to a church that's a cathedral. We belong to a church that's within, because we are God's family. Once you have this in your mind, you'll realize that Jesus, he was born to a virgin. It'll never happen again. It'll never happen again. Turn to somebody and say, it'll never happen again. Because there's a world that wants to tell you it will happen. Hare Krishna is coming on the back of a turtle. I mean, there's all kinds of things out there that they have wanted you to believe, and it's just not true. This spiritist, we have a, what is it called, the charismatic the place on the right-hand side of the road going up to going down, actually, on Tuttle. These people believe that if they're good enough long enough, they become God. Well, that's interesting. Now, the Indians, I heard this brother talking a testimony from India. And those Indians, they believe that in the Hindu business, they say if you die, you get to come back again. If you're good, then you don't have to come back as a cockroach. You can get better. So many times as you die, someday you could be really somebody. You could be another class even. Boy, that's tiring. And I think about it. It's tired in my mind thinking about that dying over and over again. So, but at any rate, I believe that the world is trying to convince us of lies that we can live on our flesh. Jesus came. He was flesh. Can you imagine as a little baby that Mary said to him, Jesus, sit on that chair and I'll let you know when you can get up. She was talking to his flesh. I know what she was talking to. Not she was talking to the Son of God, but she's talking to his flesh because his flesh would get him in trouble. I can imagine, you know, when I said to these folks in Mexico, I said, can you imagine changing Jesus' diaper, wiping his butt? And at that point, they think he was born somehow already. Already in his resurrection, he was a boy, he was a baby, and he had to have a mother and a father who protected him. This is important because if you don't understand the flesh of God, in flesh, Jesus in the flesh, then you'll never understand that God can be in you, in your flesh. There are some people who think they're holy, 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 because their flesh looks holy. I'm not going to a mountain. I did go to one of those over in Nepal already. I know what those are like. The idea of us being flesh, yet God in us, is so important because that's where you begin to understand who you are in Christ. Paul understood. He said that that's a mystery that was hidden from the ages, all the way through the prophets, the teachers, everybody. When is this going to happen? How's this going to happen? Well, a war broke out in heaven. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. We're going to look at that quickly. And I want you to see for yourself that it's not our war. Revelation chapter 12. It says there, as soon as I find it, my Bible's wearing out. I get really discouraged when the pages fall out and I can't find them at all. I love my scriptures. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And a war broke out in heaven. You know, they didn't even inquire from me. They didn't say, what do you think of this idea? Matter of fact, we weren't even around, were we? We were just now reading this. And the angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, they fought. And they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. And where were they cast out to? The earth. This, the third, came to the earth. You know, I wish God had this supernatural Monopoly game where Satan goes straight to the lake of fire, not stop here where we have to deal with him, but he doesn't get the benefit of here, you know. No, he can't leave here because he's been told to be here. I think Satan's frustrated because he had some thoughts about himself that weren't working out too well. And he didn't understand how in the world he could be where he wanted to be. So he had this battle. He went after Jesus. We'll read on. So, verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil. I got to move this for that. Light is helping me not reading right now. It's glare, but okay. Again, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He's still deceiving, isn't he? We look at him, politicians and kings, and he's deceiving the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. The eviction notice is being delivered by us to him. We are the sons of the living God. Now, when the dragon saw that he has been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child, which is Jesus in the flesh. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times half from the presence of the serpent. He got angry over this. And so when he realized that he couldn't defeat, in a sense, the church that was being born in the flesh in Jesus Christ, look at verse 17. And the dragon who was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that was history? That's not happening anymore, is it? Raise your hand if you believe in the testimony of God and Jesus Christ. Raise it high. I want Satan to see this. Because we know who we are. We are no longer controlled by the lies of the enemy because we know who we are. I was talking to some pastors in Kenya. I said, you know, I never wanted spiritual warfare. That's not what I want. And I know people who come in the church, they get saved, they kind of go in the back row, they slouch down so nobody can see them because they don't want spiritual warfare. Those guys up front, they do spiritual warfare. I'm just going to watch. And I guess what? He sees you. Amen. And he is bringing an attack your way. However, the weapons of our warfare are not in the flesh. We're going to see some strongholds broken by the grace of God. Amen. The thing that I want to say to you today is that those prophets longed for this fulfillment of this prophecy that came in the Old Testament. They didn't know what it looked like. They didn't know how it was going to happen. I don't think, no, for sure, Satan didn't. And I think when that angel appeared to Mary, and all of a sudden, there was a child being born by the Father in heaven, a virgin birth, that it couldn't be stopped because it was God's plan. Amen. Come on, church. You know the truth of this. If somebody tells you that virgin birth, she was probably a loose teenager, and she just, no. That isn't what happened. I honestly believe when that angel stood before her and said, Mary, you have found favor with God. She didn't know. If she knew, she wouldn't say, I don't know that this is favor or not. Because she was about to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit overshadowing her. And she would give birth to a male child born in the flesh. In the flesh. You see, this baby was formed in the womb, and I believe he had fellowship with God right there. What's God say about us? He knows us from the womb. However, you know, Jesus is the one who rose above, because he is the only begotten Son of God. We're somewhat, you know, we're like somebody, you know, we just kind of walked in the church and said, we're here too. No, that's not how it works. If you think that's how it works, then you need to pray and you need to ask God for revelation. I can tell you now that at that moment when Jesus was born in the flesh and Satan went after him, didn't work. Now he has a target on everybody who gives testimony to Jesus. And the reality is, I think when he was born in the flesh, I think Satan said, aha, I got him. He's flesh now. And flesh cannot resist the temptation that's in the flesh. And I got him now. But it didn't work that way. So everybody who comes now into this house, family of God, and we're not just born of the flesh, we're born of the Spirit, now the attack is turned toward us. You say, yeah, but I just don't have that same power, you know. Really? You don't? I would like, boy, you have no children in here, no young ones. There's one hiding back there. Can you come and help me? Would you do that? Bring your mother with you. Both of you come. I think that's a good idea. They said, he normally calls on people in the front row. We avoided that. Hi, what's your name?
Sean.
Sean?
Yeah.
Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Born again?
Yes.
Great. What's your name?
Ursula.
Ursula. Mm-hmm. You love Jesus?
Yes.
Born again?
No.
Really?
I just started coming here about 2 months ago with my son. I'm learning.
Bless you.
And I'm trying.
You know what? You're in the right place.
Thank you.
Jesus loves you. He really does. My, my, my. Wendy, come and stand with us, please. You know what? We all started here. You're not trapped.
No.
You're being set free.
I don't feel trapped.
Good. Well, Sean, you know Jesus. He's in your heart. You're born again. And Mom, she's there maybe. I don't know. It's her choice to make. Recently, I was on an airplane flying, and I'm talking, just sharing the love that I have for this young man. And we're flying along, and his destiny was right in our place. And as I was telling him about the love of Jesus and who you can become in Jesus, he said, well, where'd I start? I said, well, first of all, you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and he came to rescue. He said, well, I did that 5 minutes ago. So I didn't say, well, you get in the aisle, and you kneel down and you confess all your sins, because that, no. It happened between a man and his God. Amen. So it'll happen. He's got you on a journey. Amen. Now, my question is this. Who has more power, Sean or Wendy? Somebody want to guess? Huh? If you wanted to go, if you see God's power demonstrated, where do you see it? In Sean or Wendy? Uh-huh. The same amount? Why? You see, it's Ursula, right?
Yes.
If Ursula says, Jesus, I receive you. I want to be born again, I believe. Immediately, she has access to the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. That's the good part. And so when that happens, it's there, but it needs to mature now. It's interesting that Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. He didn't say my lambs. My sheep. So there's a process of growing in our relationship with God as a son. I don't think We have a full understanding of that. But Ursula, when that day comes for you, and I know it's coming because it may have already happened. I have no idea why you're here, how you got here, but my, look at you. You're standing here, and you are in a place standing with Wendy, who's known the Lord for many, many years. And the same access to the Father is yours, is hers.
Amen.
The same.
Amen.
And so how do we see it mature? By the knowledge of the kingdom of God. Not politics, not a business. It's the knowledge of the kingdom of God. Amen. So the demonstration here, I think, in the spirit is a child has the same power in him that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. It dwells in him. But how do we access that power? How do we actually become people who are walking in the power and the authorization of God to be here? You're a brave lady. Thank you for coming up.
Thank you.
Amen. I think you ought to sit by Wendy Moore. Amen. Wow. Oh, my goodness. What we get ourselves into. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a great day. See, I believe that there is a moment in life when we are asked the same question by somebody we see as a man or, in the natural body, natural in every way, and they say, who is Jesus Christ? That's what he said to those disciples. They said, well, some of them say, you're a prophet, you're a teacher, you're this, you're that. And those were all good things, maybe, because he wasn't always welcome where he went. But the truth is, when he said, but who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. When did that happen? I think it happened right then. And so I want to encourage you today to acknowledge Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's important. This is not becoming part of a church. Here in Kingston, it's becoming part of a family. There are no restrictions. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you can also receive that truth into your life. You have a right to be here because God authorized you to be here. Are you going to be the son that he's sending to change darkness into light? I want to encourage you in the process because it is about personal revelation. He's got you on a journey that you don't know where it's going to end. So you enjoy the now of it always because we can love one another the way he loved us. I so appreciate the fact that this church gathers together. I'm not talking about the cinder blocks. I'm talking about the church. When we come together, we cannot be defeated because we are one with Christ. My assignment for you, you didn't know that was coming, did you? My assignment for you is to read John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. It's the story of how we become united with Christ and acknowledge him as our Father in heaven. And I encourage you to do that today. I tell you, the best part of fellowship for me is seeing Jesus in you. And you can't express to me enough the reality of the love the Father has from me through you. I know it'll change my life. It changes other people's lives. Amen. Here's what I want to take a step of faith. If this was ringing true by the Spirit of God in your heart, I just want you to just take a moment and say, thank you, Father, for the revelation. Father, even those who are on a journey that they don't know where they're going with this, but they know they're going with you, Father, I ask you for grace for their lives right now. I so love and appreciate your church that I can come here and be loved by people who know how to love me because you love them. And I ask you to build that love strong in my heart for everyone. Father, I truly believe that this is a special day, that there are people here today realizing for the first time that they can be born again, and it's more than just signing a document and saying, I'm a part of church. You're part of a family. If you believe that in your heart, you truly are a child of the living God. Father, I ask for your blessing now for each one, and the journey would be filled with joy and hope. Lord God, Paul said, the mystery is within us. What the prophets long to see, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Father, I ask you to bless this church, their pastors, prosper them in every way. And I look forward to hearing the testimonies once again in Jesus' name of your faithfulness, Father. Amen. 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 God bless you. I really mean that. I love you so much. And Josh won't say this, but I'll say it. Don't leave here without hugging a neck. And if it's mine, I'll be delighted. But he'll be closing the service. Amen.